I count that as loss. I love Christ. I'm in. That's what faith does. That's what people truly saved in the kingdom. I'm in. Because the day will come. I will fight the good fight. I will persevere. I will run the race. I will stand the test of time by God's strength and grace. I will get to the end. I will see Christ face to face. I will set my eyes upon him in that moment. And then everything will be worth it. Everything will be worth it. Every tear, every pain, every struggle, every hardship, every moment of suffering, every bout of cancer, whatever it might be, it'll all be worth it to see Christ. I wanna be in the light as you are in the light. I wanna shine.
Hi, listeners. I hope you are having a wonderful day today, wherever you are. My name is Shannon, and I'm the host here on Live in the Light. I'm in studio today as we are going through the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, and today's message is called Choose Wisely. Our series right now is full of wisdom and practical direction for the Christian life. If you need to catch up or if you've missed a few here and there, you can go back at any time and listen to any of the messages in our series on our website at liveinthelight.ca or wherever you listen to podcasts. And hey, while you're there, drop us an email and let us know how the series has impacted you. Maybe tell us what you've learned or what you're taking away. We love to hear from our listeners. In our message today, we are talking about choices with eternal impact. How you act, what you say, the way you treat others, these things all have eternal consequences, and Jesus cares about them all. Today, we are going over the choice of the wide road or the narrow road. The ultimate choice in your life is which path you're going to take. So let's get into Matthew chapter 7 for more.
Shines in the darkness, just flees and runs for cover. That's what love does. The love of Christ shines the light in that place, and darkness must flee and is expelled from that situation. You show me the love of Christ in a home like that, in a friendship, in a group. You show me that kind of love again in individuals serving and be used by Jesus Christ, and darkness flees. That's why it's so hard even to get here today, because of the content that we are speaking on. The choice of wisdom is to treat others as you wish to be treated. But you will say, well, this is very difficult to do, Robbie. I will say, I agree, it is very difficult to do. But notice that tiny word that begins in verse 12. There's a tiny word in my Bible that begins, and maybe in your Bible it's the same word as something else. It's the word so. It's the word so in verse 12 there. You see it there. Or therefore. And why is the therefore there for? It is there because it connects the previous passage with the passage that we are on right now. And what was last week? Last week, 7 to 11, is ask, seek, knock. It is prayer. It is dependence upon God. It is rely on him. It is earnestly and persistently seek God in prayer because we need him so much. And the Father who gives good gifts to those who ask him. And then notice now the word so in verse 12. Because of that reality, now treat others as you wish to be treated. Meaning we depend on God through prayer. That is how now we love people with the love of Christ from our lives. No dependence on God, no chance. We can't do it. We cannot do this love on our own. We ask, seek, knock, and the Father who gives good gifts, he strengthens us and fills us and uses us to see love come from our lives for his glory and the blessing of those that are around us. Again, one of the things we learn all throughout the Sermon on the Mount this year is we can't possibly fulfill the commands. It's impossible to fulfill the commands that Jesus is teaching here apart from him. This past week, I had a moment that was significant to me of conviction of sin personally. The situation happened. I just felt so convicted of sin, and I was broken. I was broken, mostly by myself, but just I felt a lot of contrition. And just like, you know, grieved in my spirit to say, I want to be better than that. And realizing that, like, and then the thing about brokenness and, you know, conviction of sin for the Lord is painful. But if you let it, it turns beautiful pretty quickly. And the beauty is in that moment in your brokenness, and then you're all of a sudden very willing to repent, and you're feeling very contrite, and you're very humiliated in many ways. but now you become more desperate than you were previously. And Bissy's saying, Lord, I cannot be who I want to be apart from you. I can't. So I need you to be that in me. And I desire to do better by your strength, by your grace, by your spirit, by your fruit in the days to come. I had to preach myself the gospel. I had to tell myself he's not waving his finger at me in disappointment. He's not judging me in this sense. He's not, you know, saying you stink, you stink, you stink. He doesn't do that. When you're saved in Jesus Christ, you are perfectly righteous. You are forgiven of all sin ever. You are a child of God. You will never be cast out. You are his forever. I remind myself of the gospel, but now I say, but Lord, I want to please you in the sense I want to bear fruit for you. I can't do it on my own. I can't. I want to treat others the way that, you know, I desire to be treated, but this will only happen by your strength, by your spirit, by your grace. It puts me in a deeper level of dependence, and here we are today, and the Lord is moving today in the same truth. God, help us, the choice of wisdom, fully dependent upon him. The choice of wisdom, treat others as you wish to be treated. Point number two, we're switching gears here a little bit. This is very important. Point number two is the choice of many. The choice of the many now, the majority, will be the wide road, the easy road, and the road to destruction. Verse 13, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy, that leads to destruction, and those who enter it are many. Now, without a doubt here, Jesus transitions in the Sermon on the Mount. This is a pretty important transitional time here from verse 12 to verse 13. Jesus, in verse 12, ended his kingdom principles. So up until this point, principles of the kingdom, what it means to live in the light of the kingdom, to be a citizen of the kingdom. Now what Jesus does in verse 13, to the end of the sermon, he has four sections where he is now demanding a response. He's like, I've taught you the principles, what it means to be a citizen of the kingdom. Now I want to call for a response. Are you in the kingdom? Are you truly following me? How do you know if you're truly in the kingdom of heaven? So the next, really from now until the end of the Sermon on the Mount, in one way or another, this is a demand for response upon the listeners of Jesus' sermon. So verse 13 and 14 presents us with a sobering clarity. The sobering clarity of this, again, I am just saying to you what Jesus has said. And if I don't do that, I don't love you. If I don't do that, then I'm disobedient. It's just so important. I'm so thankful he says what he says here. I'm so thankful. It's so clear and it needs to be heard. The clarity is this. All of life comes down to that we are living. All of life comes down to one or two paths. Isn't that striking? And isn't that shocking in some ways? Isn't that so humbling? Everything we do comes down to, are you on the narrow path or the wide path? Like, just think, all the celebrities, all the politicians, all the government officials, all the rich, all the powerful, all the things that people do, all the education that we pursue, all the paychecks that we are going after, all the status, all the positions, all the pomp, all, add it all together. And in the end, are you on the narrow road or the wide road? I mean, that's humbling. The only thing that matters in the end. And those other things we mentioned may not be bad in themselves, but they don't matter in terms of eternity when it comes down to, are you on the narrow road or the wide road? That's humbling. That's perspective. That's wisdom. For us to consider today, this is what Jesus is teaching us and being so clear on. It's a massive call for wisdom, right? I think of how many people trifle with their eternal destiny, just playing games. I think of just, again, for us too, right, as believers, the thousands and thousands of hours we spend on social media, the thousands of hours we spend on entertaining ourselves, the thousands of hours we spend on video games, the thousands of hours we spend on nothing, and so little time given for all of eternity. That is foolishness, the Bible says over and over and over again. And yet so many people and so many of us, we spend most of our waking moments on that which has no value whatsoever in eternity. God forgive us. God, forgive me. I'll start with me. God, forgive me. This is what the Bible says. Wake up from your drunken stupor. Thessalonians, wake up from your drunken stupor. Because why? Because we have to wake up to the realities of what life is actually about. I have a vivid memory of, as a child, I don't know what age I was exactly. I'm going to guess maybe 6, 7, 8, something like that. And I came across a cartoon And this cartoon was based on Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. And I remember this young man, just this young boy, young man, and he had two options. He had two options. He had the wide road, which I remember he was placed on one of those walking or moving sidewalks. So he didn't have to walk. He just kind of stood there, and then he's moved along this wide road, and like the lights and the flash and the excitement and the glitz and the attractiveness and the world and the promise of pleasure and the riches. And he's on this. It's so easy. He's walking around. He's joined many others. And in the picture, there he was going down. Everything looked fun and exciting. And then there's this option two, this narrow gate where the hill was steep and there were rocks and it was difficult. But there's also with that and narrow and not many there, but also with that, there was this meaning, and you could see it, of peace and beauty and life. I you know, all these years later, like over four decades later, I can see it so clearly in my mind. I just like, it's a picture of truth. It always stuck with me. In some ways, it haunted me. Like for 22 years, as I rebelled against the things of God, it stuck with me, like kind of knowing deep down, I'm on the wide road. Like actually, I did know that. Like I didn't care enough, but I was on the wide road. So speaking of cartoons, I just searched this week, and I just wanted to get a cartoon of sorts or an animation. And this is what Jesus is teaching here. Here of the wide road, there's Satan, and he's dressed all nice. He's handing out riches. He's, watch out for his horns. That's a dead giveaway. Then all the people, I like this guy here too, coming. He's like, yeah, I found it. Here we go. Woohoo! Here we go. Finally. Maybe that's our world, man. That's our world. Yes. Entertainment, riches. Yes. This is life. Sex, drugs, rock, or whatever it is. Yes, we found it. Let's go. But notice the burden of sin on their backs. Notice the very thing that needs to be solved more than anything else in life is the very thing that they carry with them all the way to destruction. But it looks good, doesn't it? Everyone's going that way too. Young people, everyone's going. Come on, jump on. We're all going, man. You coming? It's so tempting, isn't it? And then you have this gate. I love that image of the cross, because that's the only way through, is through the cross. And notice the burdens left behind. Notice the sin given to Jesus Christ through the cross by grace and faith. And then the path is lonely and narrow and isolated at times, but the result is an everlasting perfect kingdom. This is what Jesus is teaching. The lure of the world and the wide road, and just looks so good. But this is the truth too. Let's go to that verse from Proverbs now. Look at Proverbs 14, says, there's a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way of death. And this is such an important truth right now. This is such an important truth. This is what our world says. There's a way that seems right, but if it's apart from Jesus Christ, Jesus says the end of that way is death. Who's that for today? The seriousness of what we're being taught, yet the importance of what we're being taught too. So the way of the world, you know, in verse 13, it's wide and easy. Wide and easy means broad, spacious, comfortable, pleasant. Yeah, lots of room, comfort, spacious, pleasant. But the implications are clear, right? Why is the way of the world easy to travel on? Just think about that for a second. Why is the way of the world easy to travel on? Well, you can believe whatever you want. You can do whatever you want. You can sin all you want. It's the road of self, of pleasure, of lust, and of the flesh. That's why so many love it. So many love it because it's like, yes, this is about me. The road of the world, the wide road, there's no conviction of sin. Notice that. It's a celebration of self. It's about you. Woo! Yes, let's walk this road. It's the wide road of the world is, hey, I'm good, you're good, we're all good, bro. We're all good, man. You're good, I'm good, we're all good. Doesn't matter. We're all good. Whatever you want, whatever you believe, whatever you desire. The wide road in the world, no character is required, no commitment, no sacrifice. None. No character at all. No commitment. No sacrifice of any kind. That's why it's so attractive. But let's be clear again. Let's be clear the sobering truth of verse 13. The end of this wide and easy road, quote Jesus, it leads to destruction. An accurate translation of that would be, it's the highway to hell. So anyone who teaches universalism, this is important, right? Anyone who teaches, what's universalism? Universalism teaches everyone's will be saved in the end. Well, you are a false teacher. because you are directly contradicting what Jesus has just said. And he says it in so many other places as well. Nope. The way of the world, the end is destruction. No, everyone will not be saved. Everyone will not be saved. And that's sobering. But Jesus desires that everyone would be saved to see and believe in him as Lord and Savior. But the truth is here, if we follow the ways of the world and the road of the world, the end is death. It's a hard truth. It's a massive truth. But today it could be a life-saving truth. It could be a life-saving truth. J.C. Ryle said this powerful quote, "Hell is nothing but truth known too late." Just sit on that for a second. Like, this is really important. Hell is nothing but truth known too late. It's fascinating to me. Svetlana Stalin, the daughter of the brutal dictator Joseph Stalin, she gives an account that when her father was dying, he was lying with his eyes closed at the very last moment. He suddenly opened his eyes and looked at the people in the room. It was a look of unspeakable horror and anguish. Then he lifted his left hand as though pointing to something, dropped it, and died. It's very important for us to see that the world is attractive. It is. The world is fun. The world is enticing. The world is flashy. The world is popular. The world is sexy, it's entertaining, it's easy, it's filled with riches, it points to luxury, it's power, and yet it's death. This morning, so I have a Bible reading plan, 4 chapters a day. I don't always do 4 chapters a day, but today I did. And my Bible reading plan, this is this morning, I added it in because I was just so struck by it. I was in Psalm 49. Psalm 49, I'll paraphrase, basically says, "Do not be envious of a man when he becomes rich, because in the end, he will not take it with him. And then in the end, death will be his shepherd." Death will be his shepherd, as opposed to the Lord being his shepherd. I was like, wow, that's really relevant for today in the message. I turned to Isaiah chapter 2, and Isaiah chapter 2, God is speaking of judgment, and God is saying that the pride of man will be humbled, and the Lord alone will be exalted in the last day. The Lord alone will be exalted. I'm like, wow, man, look at that right there. Then I was in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 says, speaking of judgment, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. That's just my Bible readings this morning. Like, I was just in the Bible today and just connecting with where we are right now and just understanding, like, there is a way that seems right to man, but in the end, that way is death. There's a wide and easy road that most of the world is on, but in the end, it leads to destruction. God is real. God is real, but his love is also real, and his grace is real, and his forgiveness is real, and his mercy is real. But it takes those who believe, again, that we're sinners in need of a Savior that will enter through the narrow gate at a cost in the life of Jesus Christ. It takes us to our final point. The choice of the few will be the narrow road, the hard road, and the road that leads to everlasting life. By the way, what I love as we're going through the Sermon on the Mount, as we come to verses 13 and verse 14, Jesus Christ taught this sermon 2,000 years ago. He taught it on a mountain, speaking to a bunch of people. He knew, though, 2,000 years ago, he knew that today, in this nation, at this time, in this province, in this community, in this church, in this room right now, you'd be sitting here listening to this message right now. He knew that precisely. He could see before the foundations of the world, before you've been born. He knew this moment right now would be here. We're open to Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. You're here right now, precisely as you are to be, to hear the message of truth that Jesus Christ, again, is the way, the truth, and the life. That he is the entranceway to the narrow road that is hard, but leads to life. He knew that. He knew that. And so today is not an accident. I want you to consider that. This is not an accident. It's powerful. It's real. It's the message and good news of Jesus Christ. So verse 14, notice, "For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." Again, I value so much the clarity of Jesus, right? Jesus is not bait and switch. Jesus is not like, "Hey, believe in me, everything will be easy, everything will be easy," and then you come here and all of a sudden you find out it's hard. No, right from the beginning, he's like, "Listen, the way's narrow and it's hard, but in the end, everlasting life." So, you know, like these teachers, the health and wealth, prosperity gospel teachers, follow Jesus, happy, healthy, wealthy, your whole life. It infuriates me. That is so not true. That is it really bothers me. They're leading so many people astray in what Jesus does not teach. Jesus says the way is narrow and hard, but leads to everlasting life. Narrow means not spacious. Narrow means not easy. Narrow means not comfortable. a citizen of the kingdom, it comfort's not now. Brothers and sisters, it's not about being comfortable now. God help us kind of almost surrender to that. We want it so badly, don't we? It's coming. It's coming, though. It's coming. God help us. It's coming. It's coming. The way of the kingdom is hard, so at times it's lonely. It definitely comes at a cost. Jesus teaches that over and over again, but it leads to life. The way is hard means it's self-denial. It calls for brokenness, calls for repentance, calls for poverty of spirit, calls for obedience to the teachings of Christ. You know, isn't it true too? As times as followers of Christ, you look over at those on the wide road, you know? You look over those at the wide road and you're like, man, it just looks, they're laughing, they're partying. This looks so easy and you're over there. And by the way, I'm not seeing you guys on the wide road over here, okay? I'm not saying that. I'm just kind of generally in that direction away from me. But you're looking across and you're tempted and you're like, wow, this looks so easy. And why does it? Because it is. Because it is so much easier. Life before Christ for me was so much easier. No conviction of sin, conscience was seared. Just kind of walk into whatever I want, man. Just like, oh, so easy. And life in Christ is, it's not easier. Listen, it is infinitely better. It is infinitely better with joy and hope and peace and love and purpose, but with cost. With self-denial, with wrestling your own sin and doing the battle against Satan. But man, the reward is gonna be awesome. The reward is gonna be awesome. But that's what it means to truly follow Jesus Christ and belong to his kingdom, is the way is narrow and it is hard, but it leads to life. Luke 14, a very similar passage, Jesus says this, strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Strive here. Let's put the next part of that in. Strive here in the Greek word against where we get the English word agonize. Just to mean we don't earn heaven. We don't earn forgiveness. Jesus gives us forgiveness. He died for us that we might live and be forgiven. But just the idea, like it's going to be tough. Like what Jesus said, we got to strive in his strength, but there's going to be agony along the way. I need to hear that, like at this very second, at this very second. Right, Julie? At this very second. And we need to hear it every day, every day. To say it's not supposed to be easy. The difficulty pursuing again light against the darkness. And so we are reminded of what is true, and then it helps us when it happens that we're like, Jesus is not baiting, switching us. He's not doing that. He's like, here it is, here it is, here it is. It's gonna be good. Child's going to be good, but the journey's going to be tough. Are you willing? Do you see the treasure of Christ in its proper worth, that whatever happens, he's worth it in the end? That's the key. G.K. Chesterton, this quote, 2 decades, blessed me so much. The Christian ideal has not been tried and found wanting. It has been found difficult and left untried. Many people have taken a look closely at the reality of following Christ. And they're like, too tough, I'm out. Means not about me, I'm out. I gotta repent of sin, I'm out. It's been found difficult and left untried. But see, those with have true eyes for the kingdom, those who truly see the treasure of Jesus Christ, again, as I just said, then he's the pearl of great price. He is the treasure in the hidden field. He is the source of my salvation. He is the author of salvation. He is everlasting life. He is forgiveness of sin. He is perfect righteousness. He is eternal life and glory. Jesus Christ is everything. So therefore, if I have Jesus, I need nothing else. I've decided to follow Jesus. I don't turn back because he is the priceless treasure. He is everything. If I cost now and deny self now and suffer now, but I have the price of Jesus Christ and that treasure, there's nothing else, there's no one else I need. That's what the gospel does. I mean, I can be forgiven, have everlasting life by believing in Jesus Christ, by grace and through faith, yes. You mean I can, all my sin, past, present, future, all time, by believing in Jesus Christ who came and lived and died and rose again, that I might have eternal life, like I believe in him and I have that, yes, I'm in. Like faith says I'm in. I have to forsake the world, but I get Christ, I'm in. I count that as loss. I love Christ, I'm in. That's what faith does. That's what people truly saved in the kingdom. I'm in. Because the day will come. I will fight the good fight. I will persevere. I will run the race. I will stand the test of time by God's strength and grace. I will get to the end. I will see Christ face to face. I will set my eyes upon him in that moment. And then everything will be worth it. Everything will be worth it. Every tear, every pain, every struggle, every hardship, every moment of suffering, every bout of cancer, whatever it might be, it'll all be worth it to see Christ. That's how awesome he is. But faith sees that. The world will not see that in the flesh. Faith sees that. Faith sees Jesus. Faith sees Jesus. And this is why Jesus is everything. He's everything. Let's just end with this. Jesus said in John 10, I am the door. Notice, good works is not the door. Being a good person is not the door. Jesus Christ is the door. What? The door to heaven. The door to everlasting life. Look how clear Jesus, if anyone enters by me and him alone, he will be saved. He will be saved. He will be saved. He will be saved. She will be saved. And you will go in and out and find pasture. But Jesus Christ is the door, and Jesus Christ alone. Again, I love that 2,000 years ago, Jesus preached a sermon and he had you in mind. He saw you perfectly. He knew you'd be sitting right here, right now, at this moment, speaking to you, offering love, offering grace, offering forgiveness, offering life, offering victory over sin and death. He knew it. That is so wonderful. And again, think about it. Loved ones, we go through this passage today. We cannot live this out on our own. We can't do it. We need Jesus so much. And the way we started, we need him so much. And this is why the Lord's Supper today is so powerful, because the symbols that represent the way in and the person and his life and death that represents how we continue on. So I'm gonna ask you just to maybe just pack up your stuff quietly right now as we prepare to receive the Lord's Supper. You can just get your stuff ready if you need to, but just try to do that quietly. And I just want to remind us today, as we hold the symbols, they're symbols of the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. We are holding the symbols of the entranceway to glory. The symbols of the one who gave his body and blood that we might be saved. The symbols of that which is our entire purpose and meaning of life. Man, we need to be thankful. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for your word, Jesus. Thank you for loving us in grace and in truth. Thank you for loving us enough to tell us exactly what is true. Thank you for reminding us again these very, very important truths of the narrow road versus the wide road. And I pray today you are choosing to save people. I pray today you are choosing to allow people, maybe, you know, I think one of the things that we need to do right now is, if you're on the wide road today, maybe for the first time, you'll just admit, I am on the wide road. I am. And the question is, though, do you care? That's the question. Do you care? Maybe you're like, no, I don't. But maybe today you're like, yeah, I do. I really care. I don't want to be on the road of the world. It doesn't work. I want to be on the road, the narrow road. That's hard, but it gives everlasting life. Then you believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You receive him in forgiveness of sins. That's the entrance way. It's through the cross. It's through the cross and only through the cross of Jesus. So Lord, work so much today, so much to beg you for. May this be a special time of remembrance. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, if you're looking for more Bible teaching, we have many of Pastor Robbie's previous Live in the Light messages available for you to listen to at any time on our website, liveinthelight.ca. We also have our daily program in podcast form, so you can listen easily on the go or hanging out at home. If you have any questions about who we are or want to share a story about what God is doing in your life, we would love to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-844-22-LIGHT. Or use the contact page on our website. Catch you next time here at Live in the Light. I wanna be in the light as you are.